Volume 50, Number 9 of The Friend Magazine for September 2020. Contents, Stories and Features. From the First Presidency, Loving Our Families by President Henry B. Eyring. A Cup of Warm Water. My Family Night Fun. Bright Idea. Hello from Guatemala. Dana and the Math Test. Bedtime Brothers. Friend to Friend, Children of Heavenly Parents, by Sister Lisa L. Harkness. Kindness Counts, The Lost Ring. The Most Important Job. Meet the Apostles, Elder Gary E. Stevenson. Show and Tell, Max and Mindy. Stop and Flip. For Older Kids, Scarf Wars, Bright Idea. Food and Fun, Video Game Explosion, What's on Your Mind? Music, This Is My Beloved Son, Things to Make and Do, Fun Stuff, Find 15, Women Who Help Lead the Church, My General Conference Notebook, Fun Stuff, Find It, I Love My Family, Friend Junior, Come Follow Me for Little Ones, One by One, Amy and Her Trike, Riding with Friends, Scripture Stories, Jesus Visited the Americas, Coloring Page, and Isaac and the Temple. End of contents, read by Wes Nelson.
Friends by Mail. Oops, we printed the German flag wrong in the June 2020 friend. Here is the correct flag. We sincerely apologize for the mistake. Staying healthy and safe. I have been to church to take the sacrament with my mask. I had to get used to seeing everyone covered up, but I'm so glad to do my part to help others stay healthy and safe and protect myself as well. It's part of loving one another. Violet C., age 11, Utah, USA. Lemonade and the Friend. It's very hot in the summer where I live. I like it when my mom and I drink lemonade and read The Friend together. Nathan N., age 5, Nevada, USA. Kindness Counts Challenge. We read the story, A Kind Primary Class, February 2020, and came up with our own kindness tips. Here are a few. If there's a new kid at school, offer to show them around and introduce them to your other friends. Share things about yourself so they get to know you, and ask questions about them. Thomas, Johnny, Owen, Emmeline, and Henry M., ages 12, 10, 4, 5, and 8, Ohio, USA. Dear friends, this month's issue is about showing love to our families. On page 2, find out what President Eyring learned after he caught his son jumping on the bed. Then read about a boy who showed love when his younger brother had a hard time going to sleep, page 14. And on page 24, you can find a message to remind you of the family you'll always be part of, our heavenly family. We're glad you're part of our family. The Friend. P.S. Write to tell us what your family means to you. Standard Search. Can you find a story about someone being baptized? Bonus Challenge. Memorize this month's standard. I will remember my baptismal covenant and listen to the Holy Ghost. Children's Guidebook, 63. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how. Friends by Mail, read by Jeff Hawkins.
From the First Presidency, Loving Our Families, by President Henry B. Eyring, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. The Prophet Alma told his people that they should have their hearts knit together in unity and in love one towards another. Sometimes it can be hard to feel unity in our families, but the Holy Ghost can help us. Once our young son was jumping on his bed, He was jumping so hard that I thought his bed might break. I felt frustrated. I went over and grabbed him by his shoulders. I lifted him up to where our eyes met. Then in my mind I heard the quiet voice of the Holy Ghost say, "You are holding a great person." Those words went deep into my heart. I gently set my son back on his bed and apologized. Now my son has become a great man. I am eternally grateful that the Holy Ghost helped me see him as Heavenly Father sees him, as his child. We can try to listen to the Holy Ghost when we see each other, and even when we think about each other. That will help us feel more love in our families. End of the article, Loving Our Families, by President Henry B. Eyring, read by Wes Nelson. A Cup of Warm Water, by Mingjun Park, based on a true story. Mingjun and Dad hurried into the church building, the cold wind blowing behind them. It was chilly inside the building, too. Mingjun hoped it would get warmer as more people gathered. Mingjun's friend Jungmin was getting baptized today. Jungmin had met with the sister missionaries and thought about getting baptized for a long time. The whole ward had fasted and prayed for him. Finally, he decided to be baptized. And today was the day. The font was still filling up with water when Mingjun and Dad walked into the room. They sat down next to Mingjun's friend James. Soon, Jungmin walked in, dressed in white baptismal clothing. "He looks a little nervous," James said. Mingjun nodded. He was glad he could be here for his friend. Soon the font was filled. It was time for the baptism to begin. But instead of starting, the missionaries were talking with some of the other members, and they looked worried. Dad went to see what was wrong. "What's the matter?" Mingjun asked Dad. "The water heater in the building is broken, so the water in the font is very cold," Dad said. Mingjun looked at the font. At his baptism, there had been warm weather, warm water, and even his dad's warm hug when he came out of the water. He couldn't imagine being baptized in cold water on such a cold winter day. Mingjun watched as Jungmin courageously stepped into the water with Elder Keck, who was going to baptize him. "It's too cold," Jungmin said. "I can't stay in here any longer." He climbed back out of the font, shivering. Mingjun felt sad for him. A few minutes later, Jungmin tried to get in the water again. This time he only made a few steps before hurrying out. He tried two more times. The water was freezing. Jungmin looked like he was about to cry. Mingjun said a silent prayer asking how he could help. "What should we do?" someone said. "Should we postpone the baptism?" someone else asked. Everyone wanted to help Jungmin, but they didn't know how. Then Mingjun had an idea. He gave James a nudge. "Let's go, James." Mingjun and James went to the kitchen. They found a large cup and bowl and filled them with hot water from the water dispenser. They carefully carried them back to the chapel and dumped the hot water in the font. "Maybe this will help warm the water up," Mingjun said. Everyone was surprised. "Why didn't we think of that?" someone asked. Together, everyone started adding warm water from the kitchen. Some people boiled water on the stove. Others carefully carried the pots across the hall and poured the hot water into the font. Even the other primary children helped, one cup at a time. Finally, the water was warm enough. Jungmin and Elder Keck stepped all the way into the font. Mingjun felt warm in his heart as he listened to Elder Keck say the words of the baptism prayer. When Jungmin came out of the water, he was smiling. Everyone was happy. After Jungmin changed into his dry clothes, Mingjun gave him a big hug. Mingjun knew that whenever he prayed with courage, Heavenly Father would help him know what to do. This baptism was one Mingjun would never forget. See Come Follow Me for 3 Nephi, chapters 8 through 11. End of the story, A Warm Cup of Water, read by Wes Nelson.
My Family Night Fun. These ideas go along with Come Follow Me for individuals and families each week. Prophet on the Wall. For Helaman, chapters 13 through chapter 16. Sing, Samuel Tells of Baby Jesus. Children's Songbook, page 36. The prophet Samuel stood on a city wall and told everyone that Jesus would be born soon. People tried to hurt Samuel with stones and arrows, but he was protected. Act out the story. Have someone stand on a chair and pretend to be Samuel. Everyone else could pretend to throw stones or shoot arrows. How would you feel to see a prophet protected by the Lord? A New Star, for 3 Nephi, chapters 1 through chapter 7. Sing, I'm Trying to Be Like Jesus, Children's Songbook, pages 78 and 79. Nephi and other righteous people waited for the sign of Jesus' birth. A new star appeared in the sky. Everyone knew Jesus had been born. Make a star craft. Glue craft sticks in the shape of a star. Decorate your star with crayons, paint, buttons, or whatever you want. Tie a string at the top and hang it up. Puzzle in the dark, for 3 Nephi, chapters 8 through chapters 11. Sing, Teach Me to Walk in the Light. Children's Songbook, page 177. When Jesus visited the Nephites, he testified that he is the light and the life of the world. Turn off the lights and try to put together a puzzle in the dark. Then, try again with the lights on. How did the light help you? How does Jesus help us? Jesus' Sheep, for 3 Nephi, chapters 12 through chapter 16. Sing, He Sent His Son, Children's Songbook, pages 34 and 35. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and we are His sheep. He said that He loved the Nephites, just like He loved the people in Jerusalem. No matter where you live, Jesus knows and loves you. He is your shepherd, too. Now, play a game about sheep. Use cotton balls as pretend sheep and scatter them around a table. Place a picture of Jesus in the middle. Use straws to blow the sheep toward Jesus so they can all be gathered close to Him. Treat me. Peanut butter fruit dip. Mix 1 cup vanilla yogurt, 1/4 cup peanut butter or other nut butter, and 1 tablespoon honey. Use apples or other fruit for dipping. Avocado quesadillas. Spread mashed avocado on a tortilla and sprinkle shredded cheese on top. You can also add other toppings like tomato, corn, black beans, or chicken. Fold in half and cook in a frying pan over medium heat until both sides are golden brown. Chocolate clementines. Melt 1/4 cup chocolate chips. Dip clementine or orange segments into the melted chocolate and refrigerate for 30 minutes. Enjoy! End of My Family Night Fun. Read by Van Farnworth.
Hello from Guatemala.
Hi, we're Margo and Pablo.
We're traveling around the world to learn about children of God. Join us as we visit Guatemala. Guatemala is in Central America. About 17 million people live here, and about 300,000 are members of the church. Many people travel from place to place on colorful buses. The bright feathered quetzal is Guatemala's national bird. Quetzal is also the name of money in Guatemala. There are 30 volcanoes in Guatemala. 3 of them are active. This one erupted in 2015.
Cachiquel is one of 18 native languages spoken in Guatemala. Spanish is the country's official language. Some families in Guatemala use pilas, colorful outdoor sinks, to wash dishes and clothes. Meet some of our friends from Guatemala. Darwin M., age 9, Sololo, Guatemala, said, When my mom was out of work, the members of the church helped us with food. This taught me how to share with others who don't have much. Jimena L., age 9, Socotepeques, Guatemala, said, "We learned that the Apostle Paul preached the gospel to all people. I felt it was right to share the Book of Mormon with my friends. I wrote my testimony in each book and handed it to them. It made me feel happy to know that they are reading it." Are you from Guatemala? Write to us. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for exploring Guatemala with us. See you next time.
End of Hello from Guatemala, read by Ethan and Shannon Nelson.
Dana and the Math Test by Lucy Stevenson Ewell, Church Magazines, based on a true story. Pray always that you may come off conqueror. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 10, Verse 5.
Dana!
Mama called.
Ready for school? It's scripture time!
Coming!
Dana slid her math book into her brightly colored school bag and slung it over her shoulder. Dana and her family memorized a new scripture verse every week. Each day before they left for school, they practiced saying it together. Mama said that learning a new scripture is like making a new friend. Once it's in your heart, it's there whenever you need it. Dana and her younger sisters stood by the door and repeated this week's verse. It was from the Doctrine and Covenants.
Pray always that you may come off conqueror,
they said together.
What does come off conqueror mean?
Dana's sister Tatiana asked.
It means that you can do hard things,
Dana said. Mama nodded.
When we pray, Heavenly Father will help us.
Dana repeated the scripture over and over in her mind as she hurried off to school. Later that day, Dana's teacher stood at the front of the classroom next to the blue and white Guatemalan flag.
Time for your math test,
Señora Morales said. She started passing out a stack of papers. Dana liked math, and she was good at it. She had studied hard for the test, and she knew she could do well on it. Dana grabbed her pencil and started working. She was feeling good about her answers. Then she got to the last set of problems. They were really hard. She couldn't remember how to do them. Dana felt a wave of panic. How could she finish her math test? She gripped her pencil and read the next problem again. Then a thought popped into her mind. Pray always that you may come off conqueror. Dana took a deep breath. She closed her eyes and said a quiet prayer in her heart.
Heavenly Father, please help me to remember what I've learned. Please help me to do a good job on this test.
Dana looked back at her paper. She looked at the problems she had already solved. Then she looked at the hard ones again. She started remembering how to do them. Her nervousness melted away. She took another deep breath and went to work. After school, Dana was excited to tell her family about what happened.
At first, I couldn't remember how to solve some of the problems. But then I thought about the scripture we're memorizing. I said a prayer, and Heavenly Father helped me.
Way to go!
Mama said.
You came off conqueror,
Tatiana said. Dana laughed.
I did. No matter what score I get, I know I did my best.
She gave Mom and Tatiana a big hug. She couldn't wait to see what scripture friend they would make next week.
End of the story, Dana and the Math Test. Read by Rena Nelson, Roseanne Peterson, Shannon Nelson, and Mia Peterson.
Bedtime Brothers by Haley Yancey, based on a true story. In the first picture, we see little brother Dax in bed, and Mom and older brother Kyler are standing at the door. Good night, Dax. We love you. The second picture shows Dax in bed, and he looks a little scared. The third picture shows Mom and Kyler reading downstairs. But then Mom looks up. Uh-oh, I think I hear Dax crying. She stands up. But Kyler says, I'll help him, Mom, the next picture shows Kyler holding Dax's hand. Kyler sings, I am a child of God, and he has sent me here. Kyler gives Dax a kiss, and Dax closes his eyes. Night, Kyler. The next picture shows Dax falling asleep. As Kyler leaves, he says, Good night, little buddy. And in the final picture, Mom gives Kyler a big hug. Thanks for being such a kind big brother. The author lives in California, USA. Thanks to Kyler and Dax L. for sharing their story. End of the story. Bedtime Brothers by Haley Yancey. Read by Kristen Hawkins.
Friend to Friend, Children of Heavenly Parents by Sister Lisa L. Harkness, First Counselor in the Primary General Presidency. Even though we each have different experiences here on Earth, we all have one thing in common. We are all children of our Heavenly Parents. Once I was speaking to a group of women in South Africa. I started humming the hymn, We Thank Thee, O God, for a Prophet. After just a few notes, these sisters burst out singing. Their music filled my soul. We all felt God's love. During the same trip, I visited DR Congo and spoke to women and girls at a Sunday devotional. They rode buses from all over the city to come. There were so many people that we had to put extra chairs in the aisles, and people were leaning out of the windows so everyone could fit in the room. I was so impressed by these women. They were changing their communities in powerful ways. They are sharing God's love. I met lots of primary children in Africa. Many of them are the only members of the church in their families, but they keep coming to church on their own each week. Primary helps them feel God's love. The people of Africa come from different countries and cultures. They speak many languages. They are rich in faith and in their love of God. When I looked into their eyes, I could feel that they knew the truth and had testimonies of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. They knew that they are children of our Heavenly Parents. The same is true for you. You are a child of our Heavenly Parents. They love you. Adapted from Aubrey Iyer, Sister Corden and Sister Harkness say African women are a powerful force for change. Church News, June 11, 2019. End of the article, Children of Heavenly Parents, read by Rena Nelson.
The Lost Ring by Titan S., age 13, New Mexico, USA. One day, I was running the mile in PE. As I ran, I saw something shiny in the dirt. I picked it up. It was a beautiful ring with shiny diamonds on top and swirls of silver. Someone must have dropped it when they were running, I thought. After I finished my mile, I walked around asking the girls if it was theirs. No, but I wish it was mine, said Natalie. It's very pretty. All of the girls said it wasn't theirs. As we walked back to our classroom, I showed the ring to my friend Clayton. Wow, Clayton said. You should sell it. You could get lots of money. I'm not going to sell it, I said. Whoever lost it is probably devastated. You are too kind-hearted, Titan. Am I too kind-hearted? I decided to ignore that thought and go with my gut feeling. After class, I went to the school's main office to tell the secretary. Miss Tracy, I found this ring outside. Has anyone asked about a missing ring? I asked. No, but I'll put it in the lost and found box, said Miss Tracy. I'll make sure to ask the teachers if they lost any of their rings. I gave her the ring and left. I felt a warm feeling. Even if the owner doesn't find it, I know I did the right thing. Kindness Challenge. We don't always get to see the results of our kindness. Do a secret act of kindness for someone you know. Then say thank you to someone who does kind things for you. End of the article, The Lost Ring, read by Asher Hawkins.
The Most Important Job by Linda G. Paulson, based on a true story. I am among you as he that serveth. Luke chapter 22, verse 27. Amelia liked visiting Grandma. She liked playing with the toy animals, especially with Grandma's soft stuffed bunny. But today wasn't for playing. Today was for helping. On the way to Grandma's house, Amelia's sisters talked about which jobs they wanted to do. Sarah wanted to sweep, Emily wanted to mop, and Mom asked Elisa to clean the windows.
What about me?
Amelia asked.
Should I help Dust?
I have a special job for you,
Mom said.
I need you to listen.
Amelia waited.
Okay, I'm listening. What is it?
That's the job. Just listen. Sit with Grandma and listen while she talks. It might be the most important job we do all day.
How could listening be the most important job?
Amelia wondered. It seemed like dusting would be more of a real job. But Amelia was willing to try. Grandma was glad to see them. Everyone else got started on their jobs. Amelia went and sat next to Grandma on the couch. Amelia noticed the stuffed bunny in the corner.
I like your rabbit,
she said. Grandma smiled.
Did I ever tell you about my brother Mel and the baby bunny?
Amelia was surprised.
A real bunny?
Grandma nodded.
It was an orphan he found. He snuggled it inside his shirt so it would be safe.
Grandma told Amelia about the rabbit pen Mel built. The story reminded Grandma of other stories. She told about a pet calf she named Star. She used to ride on Star's back. Amelia giggled as she pictured Grandma riding a baby cow. It wasn't easy imagining Grandma as a little girl. Grandma talked and talked. She told the rabbit story again. Another time, she even stopped in the middle of a story and started over. Amelia tried to keep listening, but she was getting tired. Mom and the other girls were still working. It was hard to sit and listen. But Grandma smiled. She seemed happy to be sharing her stories. A few minutes later, Mom came in.
All done. We're ready to go.
That was so nice,
Grandma told Amelia.
I love visiting with you.
Amelia gave her grandma a big hug. She saw tears in Grandma's eyes.
What's wrong?
Amelia asked.
Nothing's wrong,
Grandma said.
Thank you for talking with me. I love you.
Amelia felt warm all the way inside.
I love you too. I'll come again soon.
On the way home, Elisa asked,
How's listening, Amelia?
It was harder than I thought. I think I was done listening before Grandma was talking.
You were terrific.
Thanks. Some of the stories she told were fun. Did you know Grandma had a pet calf?
Really?
Sarah asked.
Yeah, Grandma used to ride it,
Amelia said, nodding.
Its name was Star.
Amelia told them all of Grandma's other stories. It was pretty cool to learn so much about her. Emily grinned.
Maybe you could train me jobs next time. I want a chance to listen.
The author lives in Utah, USA.
Meet the Apostles, Elder Gary E. Stevenson, of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Elder Stevenson's birthday is August 6th. He turned 65 years old this year. When Elder Stevenson was 11, his father stopped him from stepping on a rattlesnake. He served as a missionary and a mission president in Japan. He married Lisa Higley. They have 4 sons and 9 grandchildren. He enjoys skiing, snowboarding, and hiking. I know that the Holy Ghost does and will help you. Elder Gary E. Stevenson. End of Meet the Apostles. read by Sean Nelson.
Show and tell. I have a kidney disease and got a new kidney. For the past 4 years, I have been wearing a mask anywhere there is a group of people. I know it keeps me safe to wear a mask, so I don't mind. Now that everyone is doing the same thing as me, I feel a lot safer about going outside. Nellie M., age 10, Utah, USA.
Elias J., age 11, from Saxony, Germany, said, I'm glad that we read the Book of Mormon every evening. I would like to finish reading it by the end of the year. I'm glad that I'll go to the temple soon. I know that a family can be together eternally. Marcos C., age 10, from Nevada, USA, said, I have the same birthday as President Russell M. Nelson. I know he is a prophet of God.
I like to help people, so I give money to the church's humanitarian aid fund. After I gave the envelope to my bishop, I felt very happy inside. I knew it was the Holy Ghost telling me that I did something right. Salie B., age 7, Gauteng, South Africa. I like to pray. I know that Heavenly Father hears my prayers and I can tell him everything. I try to follow Jesus and serve others. I also like to go to church. And I try to always be reverent. Aubrey S., age 6, Lower Saxony, Germany.
Thomas O., age 8, from Missouri, USA, said, I learned to sew at the beginning of the pandemic and started sewing masks to donate to ward members and senior homes. My sisters and I have sewn over 500 masks.
My sister and brother have autism. When I saw my sister at recess with no one to play with, I felt sad. So I played with her. Being compassionate made me feel the warmth of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was compassionate, and I want to be like Jesus. Olivia B., age 10, Idaho, USA.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Julianne R., age 7, Washington, USA. Penelope W., age 8, Oeste, Portugal. Madison A., age 9, Missouri, USA. Jacob A., age 8, Nevada, USA. And Everett C., age 8, Utah, USA. End of Show and Tell. Read by Wes Nelson and Mia Peterson. Max and Mindy. Back in Australia with Max and Mindy, they have just gotten out of school and are starting to walk home, talking to each other.
We've passed up several Sunday parties and movie invitations lately.
I hope our friends won't think we don't like them. Let's come up with something we can invite them to. They like coming to our Saturday birthday parties, but...
We only get one birthday a year. Any more than that and we'd get old way too fast.
Right. Wait, huh?
So, we want to have fun with our friends and show them that we like them.
And it'd be great if they could meet some of our church friends, too.
I've got it!
We'll invite them to...
Primary activities!
I like the way we think.
End of Max and Mindy. Read by Wes Nelson, Ethan Nelson, and Tess Hawkins.
Scarf Wars by Shaquelle Worley Herbert, Church Magazines, based on a true story. For the Lord God will help me. 2 Nephi chapter 7, verse 7. 12 times 12 is 144, I shouted.
Great job, Shaquelle,
Mrs. Good said. My whole class cheered. I was the first student to pass off all my multiplication tables. I grinned as I walked back to my desk. I had practiced with Dad all week and was feeling proud of myself. But then I saw another student stand up. Jack.
Okay, Jack. Let's see if you can pass off your 12s today, too,
Mrs. Good said. My friend Jack was really smart. We were always trying to beat each other at everything. Usually, we just tied. Jack passes off his 12s perfectly.
We're still tied,
he said as he sat down. Yeah, I said. Good job. I was happy for him, but I felt like something was squishing my heart. I frowned and stared at the prickly cactus growing by the window. Passing off my 12s didn't feel very special anymore. That afternoon, Mrs. Good pulled out a plastic circle with pegs on it. This is a loom, she explained. We're going to use it to make scarves. Jack grinned at me.
I bet I can finish my scarf before you.
Not if I beat you first. We both laughed. I was excited. This was something I could be the best at. The next day, I brought pink and purple yarn to school. Mrs. Good helped us wrap our yarn around our looms. I grabbed my red hook, ready to start. At first, making the scarf was easy. I used my hook, just like Mrs. Good showed us. But soon it got harder. I couldn't remember what to do next. Maybe I should ask for help, I thought. But then I glanced at Jack. His black and red stitches already filled his loom. He was winning. Why is this so hard for me? My yarn looked like tangled spaghetti. That night, I told Mom about my scarf. I don't know why it's so hard, I wailed. If I have to ask for help, that must mean I'm not very smart. Jack never has to ask for help, and now he's going to win. My eyes got watery. Mom pulled me into a warm hug.
Asking for help doesn't mean you're not smart. Everyone needs a little help sometimes.
Everyone? I asked.
Everyone. We pray to ask Heavenly Father for help all the time.
I hadn't thought of that. The next day, it was craft time again. I stared at my loom. I looked at Jack. His scarf was twice as long as it was yesterday. I took a deep breath and walked over to my teacher. Mrs. Good, can you please help me with my scarf? I'm not very good at it, I said. Mrs. Good smiled at me.
Of course. Learning new things takes practice. You just aren't good at it yet.
Soon after, Mrs. Good gave me a few pointers. My yarn was finally turning into a scarf. Jack finished his scarf a few days later. He showed me his black and red masterpiece. I showed him my pink and purple work in progress.
Your scarf is looking great.
I grinned at him. Yours too. You're really good at this. And you beat me. He laughed.
I did, but I can't ever keep up with how many books you read.
With a smile on my face, I picked up my hook and got back to work.
End of Scarf Wars. Read by Kara McClellan, Roseanne Peterson, Daniel McClellan, and Rena Nelson. Food and Fun. Guatemalan Guacamole. In Guatemala, people eat avocados almost every day. For parties and celebrations, they make guacamole. Be sure to get an adult's help. You'll need 3 avocados, 1 tablespoon chopped onion, 1/2 teaspoon of dried oregano, juice from 1 lime, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Cut avocados in half and remove the pits with a spoon. Scoop out the avocado and use a fork to mash it up. Stir in the rest of the ingredients and serve with tortilla chips. Quetzal Craft. Quetzals are Guatemala's national bird. They live in high mountain forests. It's said that quetzals can't survive in cages, so these colorful birds represent freedom. You'll need 3 colors of paper, scissors, and glue. 1. Cut 6 strips of paper and cut into gradually smaller sizes. 2. Glue 3 strips into circles and glue each smaller circle inside one another to make the body. 3. Use 3 strips of paper to make more circles for the head. 4. Glue the last 3 strips to the body to make a tail. 5. Make a beak and eyes with markers or paper. End of this month's Food and Fun, read by Wes Nelson.
Video Game Explosion by David Dixon, Church Magazines, based on a true story. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Jared's thumbs flew over his video game controller. This was it. He was finally going to beat his big brother. Trees and rocks flew past on the TV screen as Jared's car zoomed into the last stretch of the final lap. Travis's car came out of nowhere, pushing Jared's car off the racetrack. A second later, Travis flew across the finish line. Yes, Travis said. Still the champ. That wasn't fair, Jared said. I want a rematch. That was a rematch, Travis answered with a laugh. Face it, little bro. I'm a blast from the past made of nothing but fast. Usually, Jared liked joking around with Travis when they played video games. But this time, he didn't feel like laughing. Let's race again, he said. Are you sure? Travis asked. You seem kind of mad. I'm not mad, Jared said loudly. Come on, one more race. Travis shrugged. Okay, but last one. By the end of the second lap, Jared's car was in third place. His heart started thumping harder. Then halfway through the final lap, he finally caught up with Travis's car. It was now or never. Jared's thumbs flew as he did his best passing move. At the last second, Travis crashed into Jared's car, sending it off the track again. Ugh! Not again? Jared felt anger filling up inside him, like a water balloon ready to pop. He threw the controller down and jumped off the couch. Then he ran and kicked the wall next to the TV. Jared stared down in disbelief. He pulled his foot slowly out of the hole in the wall he had just made with his foot. Whoa, Travis said, that's not good. Suddenly, Jared's anger vanished. Now he was just plain scared. Not only about what Mom and Dad were going to say, but because he had never felt that mad before. And all over a dumb video game. Hey, bro, I'm sorry, Travis said. I wasn't trying to be mean. It's not your fault, Jared said. I can't believe I just did that. Jared spent the rest of the afternoon dreading the time when Mom and Dad would get home from their date. What would he tell them? He couldn't even explain it to himself. He went to his bedroom to pray. He asked for forgiveness and for help in knowing how to talk to Mom and Dad. As soon as he heard their voices, Jared ran out to meet them. Mom, Dad, I'm so sorry. Dad stopped laughing. Sorry for what? Jared showed them the wall and explained what had happened. We're glad you told us the truth, Mom said. They all agreed that Jared would do extra chores to help pay for fixing the wall. That was only fair. Dad's face softened. The wall isn't what has me worried. Can you help me understand how you got so angry? Jared tried to put into words how he had felt when he kept losing over and over. It sounds like you started feeling really frustrated, Dad said. Do you think it might be a good idea to cut back on video games for a few weeks? Jared nodded. That made sense. Maybe he and Travis could go on more bike rides. We love you, Dad said, pulling Jared into a hug. If you have any more problems like this, we can figure it out together. Jared said a quick prayer after Mom and Dad left the room. Thank thee for helping me talk to Mom and Dad. He felt a warmth spread in his heart. This is the best feeling I've had all day, he thought. Things are going to be okay. End of the story, Video Game Explosion, read by Gene Nelson.
What's on your mind?
Sometimes I get really upset. One minute, I feel fine, and the next, I feel like everything is not fine. What can I do? Moody in Madrid.
Dear Moody, as you grow up and your body changes, it's normal for your feelings to change quickly sometimes. So don't worry too much. Sometimes strong feelings will go away if you wait a few minutes. When you feel angry, sad, or frustrated, try taking some deep breaths, praying, singing a comforting song, or taking a break from what's upsetting you. You can also talk to a trusted adult about your feelings. And remember, the Savior always understands how you feel. He loves you, no matter what. The Friend. Try one of these activities the next time you feel mad or upset. Close your eyes and pretend you're at the beach. As you picture the waves rolling up on the sand, take a big, deep breath. Then let the air out as the waves roll back into the ocean. Draw a picture of your feelings. What does your anger or sadness look like? Ask yourself, why do I feel this way? What made me upset? Try writing it down on a piece of paper. If you want, you can rip up the paper into tiny pieces and throw it away. End of What's on Your Mind? Read by Corey McClellan.
End of What's on Your Mind? Read by Shannon Nelson and Corey McClellan.
Come Follow Me for Little Ones. Here are some activity ideas for toddlers and young children that go along with each week's reading. For Helaman, chapter 13 to 16, Jesus Loves Us. Read Helaman chapter 14, verses 11 to 12 together. Show your little ones a picture of Samuel standing on the wall and teaching people about Jesus. You could use page FJ4 or the cover. Then help them take turns standing on a chair or couch like Samuel on the wall and saying simple sentences about Jesus like, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus loves me. For 3 Nephi, chapters 1 to 7, Jesus was born. Read 3 Nephi, chapter 1, verse 19, and help your little ones say, I'm so glad Jesus was born. Then visit children.churchofjesuschrist.org and watch the sing-along videos for Samuel Tells of the Baby Jesus, He Sent His Son, God's Christmas Gift, or other songs about the birth of Christ. For 3 Nephi, chapters 8 to 11, Light of the World. Turn off the lights and shine a light on a picture of Jesus as you read 3 Nephi, chapter 9, verse 18. Then help your little ones say, Jesus is the light of the world. You could also read the scripture story on pages FJ4 to FJ6. Testify that Jesus knows each one of us individually. He loves us. For 3 Nephi, chapters 12 to 16, prayer. Read 3 Nephi, chapter 13, verses 9 to 13 together and help your little ones say, Heavenly Father wants me to pray to Him. Collect pictures of people doing different gospel activities, including praying from church magazines or at medialibrary.churchofjesuschrist.org. Turn all the pictures upside down, then take turns flipping them over. Whenever you see someone praying, help everyone practice folding their arms, bowing their heads, and closing their eyes. End of the article. Come Follow Me for Little Ones. Read by Casey Wayman.
Action Rhyme One by One by Jordan Monson Wright. The land of Nephi stood in darkness after Jesus died. 3 days went by. A light appeared. Jesus was alive. He healed the sick, the lame, the blind. And then when he was done, he called for all the children and he blessed them one by one. It happened long ago, so I wasn't there to see. But I know he loves every child, including you and me. End of One by One, read by Sean Nelson.
Amy and her trike. Amy rides her trike at the park. Amy sees birds flying. Amy sees a dog running. Amy sees a butterfly too. Amy sees Todd riding his trike. Oh no! Amy bumps Todd with her trike. Todd cries. Amy says, I'm sorry. She hugs Todd. Amy says, Want to ride trikes with me? Todd says, Yes. Amy and Todd ride their trikes together. Amy knows Jesus is happy when she is nice to others. End of Amy and Her Trike, read by Shannon Nelson.
Scripture stories. Jesus visited the Americas. In the Book of Mormon, a prophet named Samuel taught people about Jesus. He said a bright new star would shine when Jesus was born. Some people believed the prophet and watched for the star. One night, the new star appeared. It was a sign that Jesus had been born in a land far away. Years went by. One day, the whole earth seemed sad. There were earthquakes and storms. It was a sign that Jesus had died. The land stayed dark for 3 days. Then something wonderful happened. Jesus came to visit the people of Nephi. He was resurrected, which means he was alive again. He spent time with each person one by one. Jesus knows who I am. He can help me when I'm afraid. He's the light of the world. End of Jesus Visited the Americas, read by Alyssa Peterson.
Isaac and the Temple by Jane McBride, based on a true story. Isaac bounced up and down in his seat. He looked out the car window. They were going to visit Grandma and Grandpa. They were going to see something else special, too. "When will we see the new temple?" Isaac asked Mom. "Tomorrow," she said. Isaac smiled. Finally, Isaac and his family got to Grandma and Grandpa's house. The next morning, Isaac got dressed in his Sunday clothes. It felt funny to wear his tie in the middle of the week. Isaac ate breakfast with his family. Then they drove to the temple open house. They were going to see inside the new temple before it was dedicated. "I see the temple," Isaac said. He pointed to the white building with the angel Moroni on top. There was a church building next to the temple. Isaac and his family went there first. They watched a video. Someone helped put white covers over their shoes. Finally, it was time to go inside the temple. Isaac walked through the temple doors. His heart felt happy. Isaac saw lots of paintings on the walls. Some paintings showed people praying. Some paintings showed beautiful plants and animals. Then Isaac saw a painting he liked best of all. It was a painting of Jesus. Jesus was standing with his arms stretched out. "It looks like Jesus is opening his arms to me," Isaac whispered to Dad. "Jesus always has his arms open for you," Dad whispered back. "He loves each of us." Isaac had a good feeling in his heart. He imagined walking next to Jesus in the temple. He imagined Jesus giving him a hug. Jesus loves Isaac. And Isaac loves Jesus, too. The author lives in Colorado, USA. End of the story, Isaac and the Temple. Read by Rena Nelson.